Once again, I desire your prayers. Done mentioned a couple of weeks ago about being in no hurry. Used to, when I was a kid growing up, back when people actually visited with people, wasn't in such a rush all the time. You'd get ready to leave, there'd be some parent, old people sitting there, and they'd say, "What you hurry?" You know, and I find myself always being in a rush. But today I want to talk about the one that wasn't always in too big of a hurry. Amen. He was on a mission. He had the greatest mission that ever was. The greatest mission. But he was never in too big of a hurry on his way to stop and help somebody along the way. And that is our prime example about slowing down. There's times, we'll talk about once. Only time I know that we need to be in a hurry is going to him. He told Zacchaeus, "Make haste." In other words, you better come on. I'm calling, you better come on. And that's the only time I know that we really need to get into a rush. But we all stay in one. But there was different times. He was always headed towards the cross. As a child, he went with his parents, and he got left behind. He'd been gone 3 days, and they were like, "Where's Jesus at?" They went to, "Where'd he go? Where'd that boy at?" Amen. Next thing you know, they go back, and they find him. He's back there teaching. No big hurry. He wasn't no hurry to leave. That's just the way he was. He was always trying to help somebody. And so us, if we could get a hold of that, maybe we could slow down a little bit in on our travels and our path on where we're going and help somebody. I mentioned these scriptures that other day, but I didn't read them, and I'm going to read them today. They've always been some of my favorite, and that's to do with the Good Samaritan. I ain't going to say this is a complete picture of Christ, but you can see Christ in it. And he answering and said, let's go back up. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." But he, being willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that on the way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, he came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound him up, bound up his wounds, and poured into oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him unto the inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' And which now of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." So we find here that there was a Levite and a priest, and we talked about this many different times, and many preachers have. But this Samaritan come along, and he found him, and he took time not only to check on him to see if he was all right, He went with him. He got him to the inn. He spent the night with him, took care of him. And then the next day, he gave him money to make sure that he would be took care of. And so he slowed down whatever he had going on. He stopped for this man. And I think about the different times that Jesus, on his journeys, when he was going somewhere, he always was going somewhere. The mark was Calvary. But on his way, he was always traveling here and there, going from place to place. And sometimes he just went out of his way to go and check on somebody. And I think about the night, and I want you to think about this. The day or night that you got saved, how many places did the Lord have to be that day? At that moment, we had a revival the first week of July there at Rocky Mount. Antioch had theirs usually the same week. I don't know if the Lord was heading over Antioch or where he might have been heading, but he took time to spend a little time to stop by on Rocky Mount and heal somebody that stood in need. And I want you to realize I'm so thankful how many times since then how he could, on a journey wherever he was going, he has stopped by and spent some time with me when I needed him and I desired him. He went out of his way. Sometimes you'll find in this, these people we're going to talk about today, some of them, none of us can help ourselves. But some of them, people did try to help them, but they could not help them. There were some the people did not try to help. But I want you to realize, just like the prodigal son, you'll come to a place that no man will help you. That's the reason being, not only will they will not help you, they cannot help you. And only Jesus can help you in that time. So you're going to find these people, some of them, people tried to help them along the way. And so they couldn't do nothing for them. And some of them, they just passed by. They were some of them considered, I guess you might say, as sinners. But I want you to realize today, Jesus always has time for us. I want to start over here in Mark. I've always loved chapter 4 of Mark and how he was in a ship and how the ship was being tossed to and fro. And they come to him and said, Lord, you care not, we perish. And he calmed the seas. He took time to get up and calm the seas. But when you start the 5th chapter, they come to land and there was one possessed with devils there. And he was called Legion. Jesus asked him who he was. He said, I'm Legion. There's because there's many. They all need. I want you to know. I want you to realize today there was men to try to help him. They put chains on him. They tried to hold him down. They tried to control this man. He was in a tomb running naked. He was possessed by the devil. And I want you to realize there was many of them. There was many devils and there was people that did try to help this man. But no man can help him. And then I really want to lie. All this is about Jesus and his journeys, how he come along and he helped different ones. Y'all pray for us. But there was a blind man. Jesus was on the journey and he stopped by and there was a blind man calling on him. And he was just like that man that fell among the thieves. He was there in Mark chapter 5. You'll find this. And we're going to talk about another one in Mark chapter 5. But listen, it said, and it came to pass as they went, and he come nigh to Jericho, and a certain blind man sat by him and by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude, he passed by and asked what it meant. And they told him what Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him and that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, and thou son of David, have mercy on me. And And Jesus stood and commanded him. I want you to know he stopped his journey. And these others, they were saying, tell him to hush. And there's so many times that all of us just ain't somebody that just needs some help. That is crying for the Lord. Please help me. They're hurting. They need the help. In our mind, we want them to be quiet when they're reaching out. I want you to know we need to recognize when people need help. And Jesus stood and he stopped there and he recognized this man. I want you to realize today, I'm thankful that he is our example, that he wasn't such a rush. Now I've got to get here. Now I've got to get there. That he didn't have time to stop and heal a man. I'm thankful he stopped and had Rocky Mountain. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come to him near, he asked him and saying, what wilt thou I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, and thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glory God, and all the people when they saw and gave praise unto God. And so we find here's your example of Jesus, just like that Samaritan one on the side of the road that need help. And the Samaritan stopped. I want you to know Jesus stopped. If you'll go into this next chapter, you're going to find a man named Zacchaeus. Hey, he was a Republican. He was a tax collector. A little bitty short guy. Somebody, once again, nobody cared for. The Bible said he was a sinner. And I want you to realize he heard Jesus was coming. And this little man took off running. And knowing he was coming, going to pass a place, he went climbed a sycamore tree that Jesus might stop by. I want you to realize on his journey there, Jesus comes through and he looks up at that tree and he sees a little sinner man. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste to come down. Come down here where I'm at. Humble yourself from your high horse and come down. He could have just... How many times have we just passed by? He could have just passed by. He had stuff to do, a place to be. But here was just a little man that nobody liked. I don't know about y'all. I don't hold it against Connie Blackwell. I don't, but every time I go up there and pay my taxes, I ain't happy about it. I don't care much for that office up there. When I go up there to get my tags for my car, I ain't happy about that wheel tax. Some of you may be, but I'm not happy about it. I don't ever remember going in there and writing a check for whatever amount my taxes are and saying, it's been good to be with y'all today. I want you to know people didn't care for this little man. They didn't like this little man, but Jesus did. He said, I must go and abode in your house today. He come inside him that day in his house. And they said, the people said, he go and eateth with a sinner. That's the way they saw it. But he loves sinners. Ain't you thankful for that? I think about a Samaritan woman, one that everybody despised, one that was considered a dog, a half-breed, a half-Jew, half-Gentile. Jesus was on his journey, and he said, I must needs go by Samaria. There was a woman there. There was a sinner woman that he had to take time out of his day in his trip. So he made a special occasion and went by there and stopped by, sat there on the wheel and wait for this woman to come. He's waiting for you to come today, lost friend. Hey, just like Zacchaeus, he's looking at you and saying, come down. Come down, make haste. That's the only time I find we should get in a hurry is when we're going to him. When it comes to him, we need to make a rush, because that's the only time you can go to him is when he's dealing with you. When he's calling, that's the time to go. You should make haste. But he comes and he finds this woman at the well. And he asked her, said, give me a drink of water. And she said, who are thou to ask me? Are you not a Jew? I'm a Samaritan. You have no dealing with me. She had no idea who she was talking to. And he said, if you know who I was, you'd give me a drink and you'd ask me a drink of water. And I'd give you a drink of water that would burst up into everlasting life. And she said, give me a drink of that water. And I want you to know he did. Just another sinner along the way. She was one living in adultery. She said, was going talking about going to her husband. And she said, I have no husband. And he said, thou rightly answered. Thou have had five husbands. The one you have now is not your husband. Just a little woman that nobody's probably having much to do with. Most of us would just walk by on the other side. I don't know if they're here. God ain't trying to sound mean in this or ugly. If you're here today, I'm thankful you're here. I was thankful you was here last Sunday. I was out in the parking lot. I was walking through there, and the woman said, I need to talk to you. I went over to her, and she went to tell me all the things she was going through. And she said, I'm in my pajamas. I can't go in there. I said, if you need to get on, going to church, you come to church. She said, I can't. But I need the Lord. I said, you come in. Be with us. I think she got up and left early. I don't know why. What kind of preacher, what kind of pastor would I have been if I told her you're not welcome to come in our house? What kind of preacher would I have been when she said, sir, I need to talk to you? And I said, I ain't got time. I've got to get in here. I got something to do. Well, I want to realize that's not the Jesus I serve. The Jesus I serve takes time for that adulterous woman. He takes time for a man that's a collector. He takes time for a man possessed by demons that everybody's scared to death of, and rightfully so. He takes time, casts a mile, fixes your problem, saves your soul. My Jesus, my Lord, is never too big a rush to leave anybody by the wayside. We read about a woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. And there was a man named Jairus that had a daughter who was 12 years old. I don't know how them hooked together, but somehow they do. But this woman had an issue of blood. And because of that, she was an outcast. She couldn't be around people. And she'd give every penny she had, trying to be made better. And she'd grow the worse. And this Jairus, he was a captain. He comes to Jesus and said, my daughter's died. My little girl's died. Oh, I've been there before. I watched my little girls be lost and die to sin. My daughter's dying. Come on, Lord. So the Lord starts on a journey headed for his daughter. There comes this woman, issue of blood. He's going to save a little girl. He's got somewhere to get to. And here this woman with the issue of blood, an access. Nobody have nothing to do with her. Sees him coming by, and here she comes. and touches the hem of his garment. Virtue went out of our Lord. He stopped and he said, "Who touched me?" They said, "Well, Lord, you see the multitude here. You asking us who touched you? I want you to know, I've heard people say, I know they got saved. You don't know nothing. You might think you know, but that was there for a reason for us, to let us know we have no idea. But Jesus knew he was touched, and the woman knew she was touched because she'd been made whole. He stopped there and took time with a woman that nobody else would have anything to do with. Just like somebody having leprosy. She was an outcast. Just like the Samaritan woman. You may have never been that. I don't know. It may not mean much to you. I don't know. But as a little boy, I know what that's like. Me and Sister Connie went to school together, and me and Marty Curtis and Marty met her, and they might tell you they didn't, Donna. They might all tell you that I wasn't an outcast, but I was. You know what I done for, I'm not saying this to be mean, but I picked up trash for 2 years in school. When I was in second grade, they had too many of us in the second grade for that class, and they moved me up to third grade and put me in a split class. And my teacher, she didn't have time to teach the second, third grade. I don't know, maybe I was too much trouble. But she gave me a trash can. She told me, go pick up trash. So I'd go outside every day and walk around and pick up trash. I'd done that for second grade. Third grade rolled around. I was in that same split class, same teacher. She gave me a trash can. For 2 years, I picked up trash. That's why I couldn't read. I didn't learn nothing. I was your little trash boy. I was your outcast. I go to fourth grade. I had a teacher. She was named Pat Haynes, sweet little woman. She was a younger woman. I went in, and I went up there, and I got the trash can, and I started out the room, and she said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to pick up trash." And she said, "You don't pick up trash in my room." An outcast. Nobody cared either. Nobody. But I had a neighbor, a good neighbor. He was a neighbor unto me. And he saw something nobody else saw. And he began to coach a ball team that a little boy might hear the gospel. And then I started going to church, and you know what happened? Jesus passed by. What happened? A little boy in an outcast. Nobody would have nothing to do with. Nobody cared anything about. A little boy on a bank, second from the back row, calling on him, "Lord, I need you. I don't like being this way." And Jesus come in. He took time for a little sinner boy. He changed my life. He heals this woman, the issue of blood. He changed her life. The woman at the well, she said, "Come to meet a man that told me everything I ever did." And they believed upon her word. She was a witness unto them. Zacchaeus changed his life. He said, "Lord, if I've took anything wrongly from any man, I'll go give it to him, and back to him, and give him fourfold." Changed his life. Just about a little man nobody liked. Nobody cared for. A tax collector. woman, the issue of blood was healed. The servant come and said, don't need to bother the master anymore. Jairus' servant come. Your daughter, she's dead. It's too late. And he had to think, why did you tarry? Ain't that what Martha said, Lord, if you hadn't tarried, my brother would liveth. There was a lesson to be taught in that also. Lord gets there and they laugh him to scorn. She's dead. Ain't nothing you do for her. She's dead. They laugh at him for even thinking he could. And he brought that little 12-year-old girl back to life. He wasn't too busy to take time. I want to thank you for being a good teacher, loving your children. I want to thank you for being a good teacher, loving your children. I want to thank you for everything you do for our kids. You. And if I'm missing you for taking time for that little boy, that little girl that everybody else may think, I just so not have these. I was talking to a school bus driver here a while back. Bought a chicken manure spreader off of him, believe it or not. Well, I traded a four-wheeler to him. I didn't need a four-wheeler. I needed a chicken manure spreader. Got talking to him. His name's Ray Jones. Didn't know him from Adam. Come find out, my grandson had a bicycle wreck. He was his school bus driver. He picked him up and took him home. He said, nobody wanted to drive that bus. He said, bunch of mean kids ride that bus. He told him, he said, I'll drive that bus. My granddaughter, Addie Claire, just loves that man. I ain't going to tell you how many times she changed boyfriends according to him. But more than he changed certain things. You'll get it. My granddaughter's going through some a lot of bad stuff in her life. And our times, he took time and befriended her. And she just loves him. Since Jesus, he walked along. He stopped and thanked you. He knows what you do. He remembers you. And when I was there on that altar, I don't know how many people was calling on him that night. I have no idea. No doubt, all over the world, there was people saying, Jesus, help me. Jesus, please help me. My mama's dying, Jesus, help me. My child is dying, Jesus, help me. Jesus, I'm dying, Jesus, help me. Jesus, save my soul, Jesus, help me. But in the midst of all that, as I laid across a bench back there, I didn't say a word. I can't tell you one word I said, but my heart was broke and I needed him more than I needed anything else. And he saw me. And he reached down there, a young boy, a trash picker upper. And he picked me up, illiterate. And he saved my soul. I stand in front of you today. Y'all heard me read. I'm still not a good reader. But he's helped me. I still don't fit in everywhere I go. But he's helped me. People, a lot of people still look down on me. But he's helped me. So if you want to see your example of one on a mission, he was born in a manger. At 10 years old, we finally started teaching. No hurry to get back home. We find he was baptized by one John the Baptist. He went up in the mountain, tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. He come down, he called unto him who he would. He set up his church. He loved her. Amen. He started his journey walking towards a cross to die. On the biggest mission that ever been given to a man. And all along the way, he come across little girls that needed to be made alive. There was little boys that needed the Lord. There was women with issues of blood for 12 years. Broke, give everything they had, nowhere else left to turn. There was rich man. That's what it said about Zacchaeus. It's easier for a rich man to enter through an eye of a needle or a camel go through an eye of a needle than a rich man enter into heaven. He did. Why? Because he humbled himself. Oh, rich tax collector. Little short guy. I just see him right now. I believe he was that little guy, you know. You know, he come up to you, look up at you. I'm getting your money. And ain't nothing you knew about it. And they all despised that little fella. Jesus come by and said, come on down here. You make haste. I'm going to save you today. And he did. A woman that had been married multiple times. Just a sinner woman. He saved her. A sinner woman, he took time at the house, washed his feet with the tears from his eyes, wiped them with the hair from her head. How are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be like Jesus. We're going to be presented with opportunities every day. Amen. To do the right thing. You may not even notice it at the time. You're going to have an opportunity to slow down and try to help somebody. Be like Jesus. Don't be like me. Be like Jesus. I told you about my neighbor. I never found out about all the story until he was dead. He died. He was a preacher. He went through all that for a little boy. He took time for a little boy. At that point, y'all have heard me tell this many times. I'm going to tell it again. Can't help it. It meant a lot to me. I didn't fit in. But I never had a girlfriend. I was just that kid, you know, over here by myself. I wanted to fit in, but I just didn't. You ever know what it's like to stand up in front of a bunch of people who can't read? They'd say, get up here and you read this. I couldn't. And then I'd have to get up here and just tell them, I can't. And then when he called me to preach, I said, I can't. And he said, I'll help you. I go to pray, Lord, give me somebody. I'm lonely, Lord. I need somebody. I'm just a kid. I walk around a corner.
at Westside School. At a girls' basketball game, there stood a beautiful woman at a water fountain. And he said, there she is, go get her. And I've had her ever since. So every good thing and every perfect gift comes from above. Today, if you're here and you're lost, Jesus has got time for you. If you're here today and you don't fit in, Jesus has got time for you. If you're here today and the preacher walks by you Sunday after Sunday, never speaks, Jesus has got time for you. If you're here today and you just don't feel like you fit in nowhere, Jesus has got time for you. If you're here today and you've been saved for years and you ain't got nowhere else to turn, Jesus has got time for you. I may not take the time for you. Your husband may not take the time for you. Your wife may not take the time for you. Your friends may not take time for you. But Jesus will take time. We sang a song, Jesus passed by. Not only did he pass by, he stopped. Amen. And he took time and he made a bold with you. Amen. You know something? He didn't just pass by. He dwells in me. He's still with me today. I finally found a place to fit in. You know where it was? Hereby we know we dwell in him and he dwells in us because he's given us his spirit. Amen. I fit in with him. Amen. If I don't fit in nowhere else in the world, I fit in with him. I don't know. This may have been way too long. I don't know. Felt like it need to take a little time with this. Amen. Sorry about the mistakes I made getting in the wrong book and all that. You know, sometimes you need to just slow down. You can be saved today. Amen. You're that little boy or little girl. Or that grown man or grown woman, as far as that goes. You just don't feel like there's no hope for you. You're that parent that looks like their child just don't have no hope for them. You don't think Jairus, when they... His servant come up and say, well, you can just forget about it. Don't bother him no more. She's dead. That's how he found out his baby was dead. Yeah. This little girl just walked up and said, you just forget about it. Don't bother him anymore. She's laying back in the house dead. And he was standing there thinking, that's my baby. That's my little girl. But Jesus just kept going. That's what Jesus can do. He can bring somebody up that's done stinketh, that's been in the ground 4 days. He's always on time. Ain't that right, Teresa? I believe that's your favorite song. Here comes Jesus, right on time. That's my message. If you're here today and you're lost, I'd encourage you to seek the Lord because he's got time for you today.